Hi there, and welcome to The Conscious Communicator, a show dedicated to helping you find your true voice, the nonviolent voice of personal responsibility and purpose, the voice that only you can speak. The reason that most of us fail to achieve our true voice is because of the false voices that occupy the mind. The voices of ego, consumption, expectation, opinion, and self-doubt rob us of our true nature, our true voice. Join me as we have a chat about inner purpose, outer passion, and finding your true voice.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Conscious Communicator. My name is Rusty, and we are joined tonight by Dr. Brad Nelson, who is the author of the book, The Emotional Code. And he talks about helping people to break emotional blockages that are causing them physical pain in a lot of situations, but I think also emotional and mental pain. I want to first thank Geraldine for last week. Geraldine came on, and we got a couple of callers asking some significant questions, and we want to encourage callers as well. And my understanding of what Dr. Nelson does is that he can also do this at a distance. So if there you might have some questions about some blockages as we talk, feel free to call the toll-free number 888-228-4494 in the U.S. and Canada, and toll-free worldwide 877-489-6350. Dr. Nelson, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Oh, thank you, Randy. Great to be here.
All right, it's Rusty. You can call me Randy if you want, but Rusty probably works better. So I was taking a look at some of the stuff that you do, and my first question is, you're a certified chiropractor, is that correct?
That's right. I've been in practice for 20 years. I left my brick-and-mortar practice about 4 years ago to write this book, The Emotion Code. So, yes, I've been around the block.
What was it that led you to kind of go away from more of the traditional body work to starting to think about emotions?
Well, what happened was, as I was working with people over many years, especially during the last 10 years that I was in practice, I was working with very, very sick people, the sickest people that could find me, people who were suffering from things that were considered to be incurable, generally chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, lupus, things like that. What I found with all these people, in fact, what I found with all the different cases that I saw over many years, no matter what was going on with people, whether they were suffering from migraine headaches or neck pain or low back pain, or more chronic, difficult diseases, the single most common denominator for all these people was the emotional events that they had gone through, the intense emotional experiences that they had had, were actually creating at least half of the trouble that these people had. And it was astounding to me the results that we would get when we would simply find these emotions, these trapped emotions, I call them, and get rid of them and release them. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of cases where people were in acute physical pain. And with the release of a trapped emotion, the pain would be instantly gone. And I'm talking pain sometimes that had been chronic for decades would suddenly just be gone with the release of a trapped emotion.
Now, are you familiar with Freud's work at all? Did you know, because, I mean, he based his entire psychodynamic practice, I think, on the idea of the subconscious emotion, especially in some of the shadow illnesses like that he talked about, Anna O, and some of the people that he dealt with that had these psychosomatic illnesses that were showing up. And his feeling was that there was a subconscious reason for this to happen. Is that kind of the same sort of thing that you're thinking?
Well, I think in some ways, yes. The best way to understand the emotion code and how our emotional baggage really affects us in very concrete ways is if you stop and you think for a moment about what the body really is. You know, if you look at your hand, it looks very familiar, but if you magnify it 100 times, you see it doesn't look familiar anymore at all. It looks like the surface of an alien planet with hills and valleys. And if you magnify it about 850,000 times, you're starting to see the individual molecules in DNA and things. And if you magnify it about 1,000,000 times, you're zooming into the actual scale where you can see an individual atom. And if you look inside of an atom, you see there's really nothing in there except just vast amounts of open space and little energies that are vibrating and creating who we are really. Everything in the universe is made of atoms, and atoms are really made of just nothing but pure energy, really. So that's what we really are. Well, we know now that we can measure thoughts electronically, and we can measure emotions as well. And an emotion of anger is a different vibrational frequency than an emotion of grief or sadness and so on. Every emotion has its own vibration. So when you are feeling an intense emotion, what you're really doing is you've really changed your vibrational state of your body to the vibrational state that matches this feeling or this emotion. And it's during those times when we're feeling that intense emotion that somehow, for some reason that we don't really understand yet, it's almost like the emotional energy is too much for the physical body to process, and some of that energy becomes lodged in the body. Now, we call that a trapped emotion, and a trapped emotion is a little ball of energy. It's completely invisible, but it's a little ball of energy from about the size of a baseball to about the size of a cantaloupe, typically. And these balls of energy, these trapped emotions, will always lodge somewhere in the body. Now, they have two effects on us. And it took me a long, long time to understand and figure out, how this worked. But basically, what happens is the tissues that are within that little sphere of energy, wherever it lodges, the energy, the normal body energy field that is within that sphere is being distorted on a continual basis by that extra energy, the emotional energy that's trapped there. And so when you distort the body's energy field, you're distorting the body itself. And so that ends up eventually creating physical symptoms, pain, malfunction, up to and including cancer, I believe. And so that's how the physical effect happens. But then there's also the other side of the coin here, and that's the mental emotional effect. And this was the one that was the hardest for me to really understand because, I started out releasing these purely for the physical effect that they would have. And it didn't take long before people were coming back into me saying, Doc, you released that emotion of anger, and my back pain is much, much better. But also, I feel different now. I used to be a real angry person. I used to have a hair trigger temper, and it's gone now. I'm different. I'm a different person. And so what I finally figured out was that, and this might sound strange, but I believe that the tissues that are within that ball of energy, that little sphere, I believe that those tissues are continuing to vibrate at that specific emotional energy. So, in other words, those tissues are actually feeling that emotion all the time. And so, when
that was my question to you, because it's a twofold question to you. Number one, why do they get trapped in the first place? But secondarily, as we know, the molecules in the body are constantly changing, and so there's who I was even, biochemically 2 or 3 years ago is not who I am today, because most of that, those processes die and are recreated, as is in the case of cancer when they recreate in a negative way. Number one, why do they get stuck? And then number two, why would they continue to manifest unless that emotion was being experienced at a conscious level, or is it a subconscious thing?
Well, it's really more of a subconscious thing, but see, what happens is if a situation arises in your life, let's say you have a trapped emotion of anger, for example.
Let's get to that real quick. Why does it get trapped in the first place? What's going to cause an emotion to trap?
Well, that's a good question. Apparently, as near as I can figure out, sometimes the emotion is just too powerful. And so for some reason, it will become lodged in the body. Now, these things will always lodge somewhere, and usually they will lodge where there is some kind of a weakness in the body, maybe where there's been some kind of infection or some injury. They will often cluster where there was an injury. Or they will go to a place where there is some kind of a metaphysical significance for the body. For example, if the trapped emotion is about or pertains to, a child or a family member or someone that is very closely connected, it may lodge in the breast or in the womb. If you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, for example, and your trapped emotion maybe is frustration or resentment, it may lodge in the shoulders, So there are sometimes these metaphysical connections. But we really don't know everything there is to know about these. But even though the body, as you point out, the body itself does, continually regenerate and you're not the same person that you were. Nevertheless, the emotions persist and they can last for decades. You know, one case, for example, that we talk about in the book was a woman who was in her early 70s who came to see me. And one of the very first things that showed up with her was a trapped emotion of sadness. And we traced this back 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And it went back to 1963. And I thought, well, gee, maybe that's about JFK, because I'd seen that before. And the moment that we arrived at that, and as I'm testing her, the moment I'm getting the answer from her body that that's what it was, at that same moment, she's breaking down, sobbing, and saying how much that affected her. And then when his son died in the plane crash, JFK Jr., it all came back to her, all that grief, and all she could do for days was weep. She couldn't work. She couldn't do anything. And so I thought, well, there's an example, a good example of how a trapped emotion will kind of make you resonate with it. But I thought, where has this been all these years? You know, where did this emotion lodge? In her particular case, it lodged in the left breast. And when we found that out, she and I just stared at each other because 4 years before she'd had that breast removed because of a malignancy. You know, another great example. You see, a lot of the time we don't necessarily remember even. We don't know when we get these trapped emotions. And luckily, not every emotional event that we go through will create a trapped emotion. But everybody has these, and we don't always remember. We can get them when they're very young. For example, I had a young woman who came up. I was doing a workshop once in Las Vegas, and this young woman comes up, and she tells me that I'm checking her to see if she has a trapped emotion. I ask her if she has any physical difficulties, and she says no. But her body answers back that she has a trapped emotion, and we get answers from the subconscious mind using muscle testing, a variety of different ways we do that, and it's all in the book. It's very simple. Anybody can do it. But anyway, the trapped emotion was forlorn, which is feeling all alone and kind of helpless and desolate, and we traced it back, and it had occurred when she was about 1 year old. And I asked her if she knew anything about this, and she had no idea. But I happened to look out at the audience at that point, and her mother was sitting out there, and all of a sudden she had turned white as a ghost. And I said, "Do you know anything about this?" And she said that when her daughter was that age, she used to use cloth diapers. And one day she accidentally pinned her daughter to the diaper and didn't know it until she changed her the next time. And so we tested to see if that's what the emotion was about, and it was. Now, this girl didn't remember that, but we went ahead and released the emotion, and she went back and sat down, and I thought that was the end of it. But about 10 days later, I got an email from her mother who said that her daughter, since she was about 8 years old, had had a problem with her knee and her hip on her right side, that it had been getting worse and worse. It had been affecting her gait, and nobody could figure out what it was. But the moment we cleared that emotion, released that trapped emotion, which just takes seconds, that had been completely gone. In fact, I ran into them, the two of them, that was a number of years ago, I ran into them this last weekend in Orlando at a convention, and she's still doing great. So you never know, you know, where these are going to come from. You can actually inherit these as well. We see that occasionally.
You know, I have a personal experience. When I was, I guess I was 18 or 19 in college, and I had a family friend that was a doctor. When I was a high school football player, I'd hurt my knee very significantly. And I was going by his house on my way to down to school. And there was something that happened during his physical exam of me when I was 18 or 19 that led me to believe that I had been abused. It was a completely uncomfortable, you know, there was a line that had been crossed. And about 6 months later, I developed, which best can be described as a pain in my lower kind of upper buttock area, and I had always attributed it to that experience where there was some repressed feeling that was inside of me or guilt or something associated with that situation, and it had manifested physically inside of me. And even though I was aware of it and I felt like that was part of it, I'm interested in finding out about the release process, because that's something that I think for years was a real struggle for me. As is with anybody who's experienced any kind of abuse, is that feeling of guilt and shame associated with what could I have done differently? And I would imagine in your practice, or I don't know, maybe you don't, but I mean, I work in schools and do a lot of work with kids, and one of the most amazing things that we see is the amount of abuse that these kids are dealing with, and I would imagine that that might be something that manifests physically as well. How do you release it?
Well, that's one of the really exciting things about the emotion code is that it was developed in this practice where I was very busy, and I was very focused on finding the real underlying causes, because that was what I was interested in doing, was really getting people well as fast as I possibly could. And as I gradually came to understand what a huge, huge part these trapped emotions play, I had to develop a way to release these in a very, very rapid way. And basically what we do to release a trapped emotion, we go through a little process, and in the book we teach that, first of all, the subconscious mind is where all the information is about if you have trapped emotions, what's really wrong with you, what needs to be done to help you. The subconscious mind knows, the conscious mind does not. And luckily, we can tap into the subconscious mind using various forms of muscle testing or kinesiology. And we teach a number of these in the book, but they're easy to learn and easy to master, and anybody can do them. Once, and it's a simple process of just asking questions of the body. The easiest method that we teach in the book, the first method that we teach, is called the sway test. And just real quickly, I can share with you how this one works, and your listeners can even try this as they're listening in. Basically, if you think about the fact that all organisms respond to positive or negative input, the human body is no different. I mean, if you take a plant and you put it near a window, you'll come back a month later and you'll see the plant has grown towards the light, away from the darkness. If you put poison, if you drop a drop of poison into an aquarium, the fish will sense that and they will swim away towards cleaner water. All organisms have this capability. Now, the human body also has this capability. We can sense when things are not right, and oftentimes we can allow our body to communicate that to us. The simplest way to do that is through the sway test, and here's how this works. If you just stand up and you drop your arms down by your sides and you just allow yourself to completely relax, the first thing that you'll notice is it's impossible to stand perfectly still. There's always a little bit of oscillation left or right or back or forward, but if you hold a thought in your mind, a very positive thought, for example, if you hold this thought in your mind, think of unconditional love, and think of how powerful that is. Hold that thought in your mind, unconditional love, as you stand there completely relaxed. And if you imagine what it's like to be loved unconditionally, or to be able to love unconditionally, what will happen is before long, your body will start to sway forward towards that thought, towards the positivity of that thought, just like a plant growing towards the light. And we call this the sway test. I did not invent this, but someone else did a long time ago. I have no idea who. It's been around for a long time. But if you also then think about something very negative, and I think about the most negative thing I can think of is war. If you think about war for a moment, and you think about how negative that is and all of the damage and all of the ruined lives and all the people that are maimed and killed and all the destruction of property and life and the loss of liberty and freedom and so on. If you think about all those thoughts, think about war, and you hold that thought in your mind, what will happen is your body will start to sway backwards away from that thought. And so this is called the sway test. Now, for most people, this is the first opportunity that they've given where they've given their subconscious mind a chance to actually speak to the conscious mind. Now, and again, in the book, we have a number of different methods that we teach, but it's absolutely critical to do the emotion code. What you have to do is you have to bring the emotion to the surface. These trapped emotions really want to make their presence felt. They want to be acknowledged somehow, I think. And they'll make their presence known either by creating pain or discomfort or disease for you or emotional problems or both. Or you'll find them and get rid of them before they do, or after maybe they've already created some problems.
It sounds to me like these emotions are not fully experienced emotions. I mean, one of the things that we work on as much as we can in terms of dealing with kids, especially in that K-6 environment, where we're trying to help them get some emotional intelligence, is to understand that emotions need to be fully felt. But then, you know, it's the Canes. They're coming on in a couple of weeks. They had talked about the idea in their book, Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, which is a great title, that why doesn't happiness last? Because we never focus on happiness as something that we try and hold in our attention. We just experience it, and it comes to completion on its own. And I think negative emotions a lot of times don't come to complete. And I actually was listening to your blog earlier. A gentleman you were dealing with addiction a couple of days ago. You remember who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And he was talking about wanting completion. You know, he wanted some idea of being able to complete a particular emotion. And it seems to me that that's kind of what you're trying to do, is get these emotions are there saying, you know, I'm not complete yet. You haven't fully experienced me. And until you do, I'm going to hang around and, you know, stick a needle in your brain or, you know, make your back hurt or something like that until you fully experience me. Is that kind of your sense?
Well, I think so in a sense, yeah. What we find is that when we bring the emotion to consciousness by going through this little process of identifying it, we've got a list of 60 different emotions divided into two columns and six rows. And it's a simple process of asking yes or no questions. And we can zero in. I think the record, I was in Orlando last week, and I think we set a record of maybe finding the emotion in 13 seconds, which is about as fast as you can find one. But once the emotion is identified, then it can be released. Now, when we release it, we actually use magnets. Now, one of the things that's different about the emotion code is that you don't have to go through the process of actually feeling the emotion all over again. This is not a talk-it-out therapy. This is a very, very rapid method of zeroing in on the emotion, bringing it to conscious awareness, and then releasing it, releasing the energy of the emotion, which just literally takes seconds. Now, we use what's called the governing meridian. Now, the meridians are like little rivers of energy that flow just under the skin, and there's one particular meridian that starts at the upper lip, goes over the nose and over the top of the head and then all the way down the back of the neck, down the back to the tailbone. That meridian is the one that we use to release the trapped emotions. That meridian is connected up with all the other meridians. And what we find is that when you use a magnet, and we prefer the magnets that are made by the Niken company, which is a big global wellness company. They work really well. But actually, we found any magnet will work. When you use a magnet and you roll or slide a magnet down that meridian, once that emotion is on the surface, you can just take three swipes of that magnet down that meridian, and the energy is just kind of annihilated. It's gone. We've never, ever seen one of these come back. Now, people may go. Sometimes people will go through a little process for a couple of days where they may feel some echoes of the emotion as it's sort of being healed. But we've never seen one come back, and we've had really very dramatic results with lots of people releasing these. Now, if you want, what we can do is, I can show you how we do this at a distance, and we can check you for this pain. Are you in pain right now?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that was in my 20s. I don't think that's really something that I've experienced recently in that regard. But it's kind of, I'd be happy to go through the process. So, you talked about heart walls and some of the other stuff as I was reading through your material. So, yeah, and to our listeners out there as well, please call in again. Phone numbers are 888-228-4494 and 877-489-6350 worldwide. If you've got some of the stuff that we're talking about, please call in. Yeah, go right ahead, doctor.
Okay, sure. Well, basically, here's how we do this. Let's see here. Rusty, how old are you right now?
45,
okay. So what we'll do first is we'll just have a moment of silence here real quick so I can ask for a little help from upstairs. We find that it seems to help. And now what we'll do is we'll tune into you. Now what I'm going to do, and we actually teach this in the book, The Emotion Code. We teach what's called proxy healing, okay, where the reality is we're all connected all over the world, and the human body has this ability built right into it to act as proxy for another person. So one person's body will set aside its own needs temporarily to allow another person to be helped. And so what we're going to do right now with you is I'm going to simply ask if you and I have got a connection now, and the connection is created just through our intention. But you know, we're all really connected in a way in the world. And so we'll see if we got a good connection here going. And can I act as proxy for you? And I'm testing myself, and I'm getting a yes on that. So let's just simply ask, first of all, let's ask if you have a trapped emotion. And now that area was your left or right hip. Is that right?
Upper left, like the buttocks area, around the, it's lower than the hip, but right around the top of the butt, the glute.
Okay. When's the last time that bothered you? Has it been a while, or?
You know, off and on, I have sciatica that sometimes pops up. I drive a lot, and that shows up sometimes, and I'm not sure if that's connected, but I'd say it's been a couple of years.
Okay. All right, well, let's just tune into this and see if, you see, what I have found, there are basically six different ways that our bodies become imbalanced. We can pick up pathogens, we can have structural imbalances in the bodies, misalignments, we can have nutritional deficiencies, toxicity, and on and on. But what I have found is that the number one most common kind of imbalance that occurs in the body is trapped emotions. And so what I've learned is that if we go there first and we release the trapped emotion, it usually takes care of things. So in this particular case, let's just ask, is there a trapped emotion that is creating any kind of imbalance in that area of your body? And the answer that I'm getting is a yes. Now, once we get that answer, what we do then is we take a look at our chart. And again, we've got 60 emotions divided into two columns and six rows. And how we get the answers here is we simply ask your body, I have no idea what this is, but your subconscious mind knows, and I'm testing you, even though we're far apart, doesn't make any difference, that's in the book. Let's ask what trapped emotion this is. And how we do this is we simply ask if the emotion was listed on our chart here in column A, and I get a no on that, so we just eliminated half the list. We know the emotion now is in column B. So is it in one of the odd rows? No. So that eliminated 15 more emotions. We have 15 left. So is it in row 2 in column B, or is it in row 4 in column B, or in row 6 in column B? It's in row 6, column B. And so these five emotions are pride or shame or shock or unworthy or worthless. Okay, these are, you know, very low vibrations. Shame, I think, is probably the lowest one. Let's take a look here and see. Is this emotion pride? No. Is it shame? No. Is it shock? No. Is it unworthy? Yes, it's unworthy. Is it worthless? No. So, and what I'm doing again is I'm just testing myself. All right, I'm testing my own muscles, but we're connected up. I'm acting as proxy for you. So the emotion is unworthy. So now let's ask when this occurred. We'll divide your life roughly in half. We'll ask, did this occur earlier than 20 years old? Actually, no, it didn't. Did it occur between 20 and 30 years old? No, between 30 and 40, yes. Now, you never know when these are going to occur, and you can have more than one trapped emotion in an area, too. But in this case, this looks like it's between 30 and 40. Did this occur between 30 and 35, or between 35 and 40? Between 35 and 40. Around 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. This goes to right around age 39, okay? 39. And feeling unworthy, you know, is not feeling good enough, sort of a low self-esteem kind of a thing, not feeling deserving maybe. And when we find an emotion like this and we track it down to a year, it's usually accurate within a year plus or minus, okay? So you might have been 38 or you might have been 40, but it's probably right around in that time frame. Now, there might have been a specific event that occurred. I don't know. Sometimes we consciously know what the emotion was, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't remember for a couple of days. Sometimes we don't ever remember. Sometimes it's just something that the body wants to release, and once we release it, subconscious mind just says, okay, let's move on, not worry about it. But in this particular case, does it ring any kind of a bell for you?
I was divorced at 38.
Oh, you were divorced. Okay. Well, there's lots and lots of negative emotions that are associated with that. Let's ask if this occurred before your divorce or after your divorce. It was after your divorce. Did it have anything to do with your divorce? I'm getting a yes on that, and that's not too surprising. I mean, you know, if you think about all the emotions that we feel. Now, what we can do is Rusty, once we get to this point, we can ask the subconscious mind, because it's the subconscious that is bringing this up, if we need to know more about this emotion or dig deeper, and the answer that I'm getting is no. So to release this, now, if I were there with you, or if you were working on yourself, you would simply take a magnet. You can use any kind of a magnet. Even a refrigerator magnet will work, believe it or not, because even a refrigerator magnet is probably, you know, 100,000 times at least more powerful than the energy of an emotion, even though emotions like this can create a lot of trouble for us. What we can do now is we can actually just release this emotion. And since I'm acting as proxy for you, I can actually use the magnet on myself and release it from you, or you can use it on yourself. It doesn't matter. It's the same way either way. So we'll go ahead and just release this right now by just putting some energy into that governing meridian three times, and that's it. That's all it takes. And we can come back and ask, did we release that emotion? Yes. And now, typically, and of course you weren't in pain, but typically when you are in pain, if you know, usually pain, when people are in pain, that's the most easily demonstrable way for the effects of this to be seen immediately. That is, it was funny, I was at a big convention this last weekend in Orlando, and a man came up to me and got a room full of people, you know, 150 people or so, and he says, he comes up from the audience and he's in pain. And he's about a 7 or an 8 on a 0 to 10 scale, so he's really hurting. And he's had this pain for a long time, but he says to me, look, he says, I don't believe any of this. I think this is just a show. And I just laughed and I said, well, that's fine. And so we found that he did have a trapped emotion and it was creating it. And I don't remember what the emotion was, but it went back a number of years. We released it, and then I had him walk a little bit, and he took about 10 steps one direction and then turned around and came back to me, and he got about halfway back, and he said, it's gone, you know. And so we see that kind of thing all the time. So hopefully we'll get some people to call in. And you weren't in pain, but this may very well release that problem and fix this, because, you see, what I found, and the reason why I left practice 4 years ago to write this book, is because at least half of all the pain that people have is due to these trapped negative emotions. And it's so easy to find these and get rid of these. And
so what about the thought processes that create them? I mean, if you think about it from the perspective of, you know, the idea that emotions do not happen organically in terms of their creating emotion, at least my understanding, is that we now realize that thoughts create emotions. And in order to keep an emotion going, thoughts have to be a continuous part of the process. One of the reasons that we realize that antidepressants and anxiety medications will quickly stop working for a patient is that they will work for a short period of time to give them the serotonin or whatever it is that they need to keep themselves occupied. But when they start having those thoughts again and they start bringing those things back into their conscious reality, they continue to create the same emotions. And you can work your way through a medication. You can work your way through any kind of, you know, kind of a short-term fix. And, you know, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but you and I had email correspondence prior to this. It strikes me as somewhat of a born-again experience, because my experience of a born-again reality is that, yes, it's gone, and I'm fine, and you go through a period of that apprenticeship of experiencing that wellness, and then all of a sudden life starts to come back, and the thought processes start to come back, and you start to think your way back into those situations, and at that point, you know, you're right back where you started. So, I mean, I'm trying to separate those two ideas, because I understand what you're saying, and I agree with it to the extent that, yes, trapped emotions, obviously, and I believe the cancer thing, I think, is primary to what you were talking about earlier. But at the same time, these are almost repetitive thought processes that keep these things alive. I mean, they're the way that you think about it, you know, for me personally, when I went through that trauma in my 20s, at some point I had to forgive myself, and I had to go through the process of saying I made some mistakes, or, you know, that didn't happen, or with my divorce, the same sort of thing. I had to become very comfortable with the fact that, you know, there were two people in that process. Yes, I made some mistakes. Was there shame associated with it or unworthiness? Absolutely. But at some level, I have to forgive myself and move on in order for me to continue to do that. Because if I don't, any short-term fix is going to just become, you know, I can overcome it pretty quickly with my negative thinking.
Well, you know, the fascinating thing that we have found, in the many years that we've been doing this, is that people's lives change when these trapped emotions are.
Hey, we got a caller. Sweet, who is it?
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Pat.
Hi, Pat. Thank you so much for calling. Where are you?
You're so welcome. I'm in Cottonwood, Arizona, and I've actually been doing this work myself and was totally awed at the fact I connected with this your station.
That's fantastic. Do you have a question for Dr. Brad? Have you been to one of his seminars? Are you one of the people that's certified?
No, I haven't. Not at all. And I didn't even get his name. I just connected to the station, and because I've been experiencing some of these releases, and then I've had something I can't really get rid of, actually.
Great. Dr. Brad Nelson. Okay. Dr. Brad, take it away.
Brad Nelson.
Okay, great.
How do you do?
Well, Pat, so you've read the book, then?
No, I haven't. Not at all. I read a book called The DNA of Healing, which has been doing something I've been doing myself through my own inner guidance. But then again, listening to you is like another doorway for me. Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, so tell me what issue have you been having trouble with?
Okay, what my issue is, it feels like an indigestion through the heart, with a bronchitis or a croupy tightness in the upper bronchial.
Okay. Well, of course, here's what I found. Now, we know, of course, that there are a number of things that could create a problem like this. I mean, you could have some kind of infection. You could have some imbalances in the spines. You're getting poor nerve communication to the area, et cetera, et cetera. But what I have found over all these years is that if we look to see if there is a trapped emotion that is creating some sort of underlying distortion or imbalance, usually 9 times out of 10, there is one there. There's something emotional going on. If we release that, then the other things seem to, you know, just sort of fade away. So
sure.
I'm wondering if you had this going. Yeah. Now, are you feeling anything right now?
Well, it seems to come and go where it feels like an indigestion, and then it feels like I might have a tight cough or something. And I've tried to deal with this issue through NET chiropractic, that kind of thing. We're asking the body. But I'm releasing other levels in my being. But this is kind of tough because I feel like I'm working with heart chakra issues right now.
Okay. Well, let's just zero in here, and we'll see. We'll just ask your body some questions.
Okay.
Let's have a moment of silence here first. Okay, Pat, and let's see if I've got a good connection with you, and we do. Can I act as proxy for you? Yes. Okay, Pat, how old are you right now?
I'm 64.
64, okay. So here's what we'll do. We'll simply ask, and again, I'm testing myself to get these answers. We'll ask, is there a trapped emotion that is creating or contributing to these problems that you're describing? And the answer is yes. Do you have a heart wall? Yes. Is that the big reason for this? Yes. Okay, so you have a heart wall. Now, we're going to have to talk about this for a second because we haven't gotten to this yet, but let me just explain what this is. Trapped emotions will sometimes cluster. The energy of these trapped emotions will sometimes cluster around the heart. Now, we now know that the heart is a second brain. The heart has memory. It thinks and it remembers. And we know now, using magnetocardiogram machines, we know the heart puts out a magnetic field that's up to 5,000 times more powerful than the brain, and it extends out from the body up to 12 feet in diameter. We know now from studies that have been done in the lab that if you're feeling love or affection for another person, suddenly your heart waves will become measurable in the brain waves, the magnetic brain waves of that other person. Think about that. So did you get that? Sometimes people don't quite get that. Yeah, it's a big deal. So what happens is when we are hurt, you know, we've all felt that feeling that, you know, we describe it as heartache. We've all felt that physical sensation when we're really hurt by somebody or we're really grieved. We feel that physical sensation where we feel like our heart is being wounded or our heart might break. Well, that's universal to mankind. And, you know, there are ancient scriptures that go back thousands of years that talk about the heart. You know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and so on. We know now that the heart is really a second brain. And what happens is, oftentimes, when we are experiencing intense negative emotions, the emotional energies can become lodged around the heart, and the subconscious mind will take those energies and it will build a wall and put a wall up around that heart brain to protect that heart brain from being injured, okay, and from being broken completely. Now, this is what's going on with you, and so if we ask about this, if we can release an emotion from this heart wall, we call it a heart wall, let's see what your body says. Your body says, yes, we can. Okay, now, oftentimes the heart wall is made up of more than one emotion. You know, when you get to be 64 years old, you've been through quite a bit of life, and so, you know, there's usually more than one thing going on there, usually more than one emotion, but we'll see what we can release right now. We'll go to our chart. Your body says we can release an emotion. Let's see what this first one is. We'll ask if it's in column A or in column B. It's in column B. We just eliminated half the list. This is the fastest method, by the way. The emotion code is the fastest method of emotional energy psychology that's available in the world. It's very, very rapid.
I was going to say, it's really important that you guys are doing this instead of somebody else, because emotional intelligence is not something that all of us are capable of. So it's great that you're able to do that.
Yeah, well, we've got people doing it all over the world, actually. And the reason I left practice and wrote the book is because, you know, I just realized after teaching seminars on this for 10 years and doing everything I could to get the word out, I realized I had to leave practice. I had to do this, you know, get the book out and get it out to the world. And it is now. So this emotion, this first heart wall emotion, is it listed in column A? It's in column B, actually. So is it in one of the odd rows in column B? No, it's in an even row. Is it in row 2 or is it in row 4? It's in row 4. So we just narrowed it down to 5 emotions. Is the emotion depression? No. Is it frustration? No. Is it indecisiveness? No. Panic? No. Taken for granted? Yes. It's the emotion. The first emotion that shows up here is taken for granted. Okay? Granted. And you know that feeling.
Yeah.
At some point in your life, you felt this strongly enough that it became trapped in your body, and your subconscious mind actually took that energy and put it around your heart to create a wall, and part of the wall. So let's see. Okay. This taken for granted, when did this occur? Let's find out. Did it occur earlier than age 30, between 30 and 40, between 40 and 50, between 50 and 60? Yes. Between 50 and 55, around 56, 57. This goes back to around age 57. Now, that's accurate within a year, generally, plus or minus, okay? So you might have been 56, maybe 58, but probably 57. If you think about that time of your life, you know, 7 years ago, roughly, 8 maybe.
Okay.
So around the year 2000, probably, 2001, what was going on? I mean, does that ring a bell that you might have felt that way?
Okay, 2001, my son was married, and my mother died. My mother died December 2001.
Okay. Well, this particular emotion, a feeling taken for granted, does that ring a bell around those times? Anything related to those events? Your son, maybe, or maybe your mother?
Could have been my son, but I'm not sure. I'm just not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's ask if we need to know more about this emotion. And actually, your subconscious mind at this point says, no, not really. Let's go ahead and release it. Now, here's what happens. 75% of the time, when people don't remember specifically what a certain emotion was about, 75% of the time it'll come back within a day or so. Okay, so tomorrow you may be doing something totally unrelated, not thinking about this at all, and it may pop into your head, and you may think, oh, yeah, that's right, okay. I remember. Now I know what that was. That happens all the time. So we're going to go ahead and release this emotion right now, okay, from the heart.
Okay.
And if you pay attention to your body, and you just kind of tune in to what's going on with you, if you take a deep breath now, you may notice some energy shifting in the body. You may notice some things happening, or you may not. It just depends. Sometimes the changes take place over time. Sometimes they're sudden. just depends. You okay there?
Yeah, I am. I'm just sensing. I feel so much energy these days. My body just, you know, is overwhelmed with all this energy.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, there's. If we come back and ask, do you still have a heart wall? You do. There's some more emotions that are making up this wall. So you should get yourself a copy of the book, The Emotion Code. You can get it at theemotioncode.com.
Okay.
And also, we have a blog, too, at drbradleynelson.com, where we have recordings of our radio shows and things and lots more information there as well. And you can get
the
book.
Hey, Pat, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Pat?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Pat, are you still there?
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Pat?
Yes, I can.
I was just wondering, did this, the heartburn and the problems that you're talking about, are they prior to 2001 or are they right around that area? When did they start?
When did my heart, what do you mean, what I'm feeling right now?
Yeah, you talked about the croup cough and the heart feeling like indigestion. When did that start?
Yeah, I've had actual bronchial pneumonia, I guess, during my younger life too. So
maybe this goes back.
A weakness. Yeah, it could be like a weakness in the chest, right?
Right.
Well, oftentimes
I've noticed
it's
starting to come up. Uh huh.
Yeah, it's not unusual to have layers of emotions that can affect an area, you know, because they don't really take up a lot of space. They can cluster, mm-hmm. and you can have a number of them in one spot. And I've seen that before.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But hopefully that will help you. Just one thing I want you to know, when we release an emotion like this, sometimes people will feel echoes of the emotion for a couple of days. You may feel kind of emotionally up and down for a couple of days. And if that happens, you may cry. Mm-hmm. You might feel snappy at people. If that happens, just realize that, you know, a couple of days, that'll be over.
Mm-hmm.
Send me an email and let me know how you do, okay?
Right.
And if... And also, I have a virtual practice where I work with people around the world releasing things like this and, you know, helping people get rid of their heart walls and so on. So you can go to drbradleynelson.com and get on our newsletter list, and there's lots of info there. Okay?
Oh, thanks so much, Doctor.
You're welcome,
thank
Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
I appreciate it.
Good luck.
So nice to talk to you.
Great to talk to you,
too. Bye.
Bye. Same to you.
Yeah. All right, so sometimes I guess you hit them and sometimes you don't exactly hit them. It sounds like she's had that issue for quite a while. But
the thing about it is when you have a heart wall, the organs in that area are going to be affected. The heart's always affected, the thymus, which sits on top of the heart, and oftentimes the lungs are affected too. And so basically what we do is we simply ask the body why the problem is there. And then the body, if it's emotional, the body will give us an emotion. Like in her case, it gave us this emotion from age 57. Now, yes, she had the problem there from before that, but that doesn't bother me because what we do is we go ahead and we release whatever the body gives us, and then we come back again. She still has a heart wall, so that, you know, she needs more work, which she can do on herself, or you know, she can have somebody else help her, whatever. But you know, the body is a complex thing, and typically, oftentimes a pain is just being created or some kind of problem is being created by just one emotion, but sometimes there's more than one emotion. Sometimes it's a little bit of a process that you have to go through. But
that's part of what I was saying to you earlier about the quick fix and the kind of the born-again mentality where you feel like you've accomplished something, but the reality of the situation is that for most of us, it's a day-to-day effort to pick up our bags and deal with the mental challenges that we have to deal with and put those things behind us, because it's not like memory goes away. It's not like we're going to forget the fact that my mom died or that my son got married or whatever it happens to be. We have to pick that bag up every day. And those bags are something that we are going to continue to cause emotional challenges for us. And, you know, I'm scared of the idea of trying to give people the concept that this stuff can be, you know, completely and totally wiped out. I mentioned that book earlier, the Canes had talked about you know, working on yourself doesn't work, instant transformation. And they do talk about instant transformation, but what they talk about is you got to do it every day. You got to make a conscious decision every single day of your life to wake up and be in present moment awareness. Because a lot of what you're talking about, stuck emotions and so forth, the things that are, they're stuck in our past conscious mind, they're stuck in our old world views, they're stuck in these kinds of things. But the idea that you could just wake up tomorrow and all that's going to change, I don't know, it strikes me as being a bit cavalier. I mean, do you ever have a sense that maybe you're promising something that may not really last?
Well, I understand fully what you're saying. You know,
Sweet, we got another caller. Who is it?
Okay. Well, great.
Hello.
Oh, hi, yes, hello.
Who's this?
My name is Marilyn, and hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, Marilyn, where are you calling us from?
Oh, okay. I'm calling from Illinois.
Great, thank you so much. What's your question for Dr. Brad?
Well, I find this very interesting, and basically, just I've been, you know, dealing with some of the joint pain, and I'm wondering if you could do the same thing that you for me that you did for the other previous caller.
Yeah, we can sure give it a try here, Marilyn. Tell me how old you are.
52.
Okay, 52. And do you have joint pain in all over or any particular area or what?
It's pretty widespread.
Okay. Do you have any particular area that's hurting you a lot? I mean, what's hurting you right now the most?
Well, my lower back and just general overall achiness.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's take a look here. We'll have a moment of silence here so we can ask for a little help from upstairs. And let's tune into you, see if we've got a good connection going here, and we do. And let's ask if I can act as proxy for you, and yes. Okay, so first of all, let's ask, is there a trapped emotion that has anything to do with your back pain? Now, on a scale of 0 to 10 right now, how are you feeling with your back pain? If 10 is severe,
yeah, right.
0 is none.
Okay, right now, about a 4.
Okay.
3, 4.
Okay. All right. So, well, let's see if we can zero in. We'll ask, is there a trapped emotion that is contributing or having anything to do with your back pain? And the answer is yes. Okay, so let's see what this emotion is. Is it listed on our chart here in column B or in column A? Is it in one of the odd rows? And it's in column A, in an odd row. So is it in row 1 or is it in row 3? Okay, so we've narrowed it down to 5 emotions that quick. Is the emotion crying? No. Is it discouragement? Nope. Is the emotion rejection? Yes. Is it sadness or sorrow? Nope. The emotion is rejection. Okay. So at some point in your life, we don't know when, you felt this feeling of rejection strongly enough that it became lodged in the body. Now, we don't know when this was from. It could be at any time. But let's figure it out. When did this occur? We'll divide your life in half. Did this occur earlier than age 20? Did it occur earlier than 30 or earlier than 40? Earlier than 50? Yes. So this is between 40 and 50. This is between 40 and 45, or around 46, 47, 48. This goes back to roughly age 48. Now, it could be 47, maybe 49, but it's right around in that time frame. So it wasn't that long ago that this is showing up. Now, you may have had the back pain for a long time, but it doesn't matter. This is what's showing up right now. So if you think about what's going on, this, you know, 2, 3, 4, maybe 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, feeling rejected. Is there any particular circumstance that comes to mind?
Not right off the cuff. I might be one of those 75%ers
that
you spoke
about
earlier.
That
it'll occur to me later. Right now on the spot, I can't think.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, what I want you to do is, are you sitting or standing or what?
Sitting?
Okay, I want you to get up for a minute.
I'm standing right now. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, just, take a few steps. Just notice how your back is feeling. Maybe bend a little bit. Just notice how it's feeling. Because we're going to release this emotion, and then I'm going to have you do it again. Okay?
Great. Okay.
Okay, you got it? All right. So you're about a 4 on a 0 to 10, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, acting as proxy for you, I'm going to go ahead and release this energy. Now, the difference, you see, what the emotion code is all about is it's about the understanding of what our emotions really are. Our emotional baggage that we have talked about for many years is a very, very real thing, okay? And we can get rid of the emotional baggage. We don't get rid of the memories, and we still have to deal with life, but we can get rid of the emotional baggage, or in other words, the energy of the emotions. We can get rid of that by using this method. Okay, let's see if we release that one, and we did. Okay, why don't you go ahead and take a few steps again. Try bending and so on. Let's see how it feels now.
I don't really notice a huge difference, but I haven't really, you know, I'm not really mobilized that much, you know. I'd have to, maybe I do. Interesting. I should have called, or if I was in more pain, then it would have been a more marked difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
but right.
Right
now, I'm in a more low pain. You know,
we don't want to encourage you to be in more pain, though. Don't do
right.
that.
Right. Thanks, Russ.
Okay. So would you say where would you say it's at now on a 0 to 10?
Well, actually, probably 1 or 2. I'm still aware that it's there, you know, the dullness, but I do think it's better. I wonder if that's a placebo effect or if it's the real deal.
Well, you know,
this is very interesting. I do believe in the concept, and I am interested in learning more about it because it does make common sense that we can trap emotion in our body. That's not a new concept. It's just technique that has been developed for the release is very efficient.
Well, you know, the book, The Emotion Code, is really all about, it's not about me. It's a method that I've developed that anybody can learn. And that's the beauty of it, really, is that anybody can learn it, anybody can do it. And, you know, you can also use it on animals. And that's something that was kind of a serendipitous discovery that we made. I didn't really realize that animals had emotions, but animals do get trapped emotions, and we use the same process in working on them. And let me tell you one quick animal story, if I might.
We got 1 minute, Brad.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
I don't think I've got time.
Yeah, we're going to run out of time, so maybe we can have you back. I thank you so much for the call. That is, you know, I hope that it worked for you, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks, Marilyn.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Brad, I appreciate what you did, and I appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, obviously people, the Emotion Code and drbradleynelson.com are places they can check you out. I know you have a big Emotional Code conference next weekend is it in Utah?
Yeah, it's actually in St. George, Utah, a couple hours north of Las Vegas at the Green Valley Spa, one of the top 10 spas in the country.
Great.
And it's actually a seminar where we teach people how to do it.
Well, I thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And, you know, hopefully people that are out there that are interested can realize the importance of dealing and fully experiencing emotions and letting them go. And, you know, it's been an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it has been. Thank you, Rusty.
Thank you. The Conscious Communicator. We are here to try and give you guys ideas about different ways to communicate more effectively, especially with that inner voice, the one that we're trying to express, because the bottom line is that in these times, we need every single one of you to be out there expressing yourself as completely as possible. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate the phone calls. It was fantastic. Don, have a great night.
We've come to the end of another hour here at the Conscious Communicator, and I can't thank you enough for joining me on this journey. Your phone calls and emails are greatly appreciated, and if you like what we're doing, please invite a friend to join us. This is a conversation that needs many voices, and as we open up the possibility of conscious communication to more and more people, the results will be a freeing of the true self from the burdensome armor of ego and a flowering of the potential that is available to all of us. Until next time, peace out, travelers. The rest is still unwritten.